The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wow, what a great weekend. What a weekend. First of all, when you see a lot of these articles that come out every Monday, the winners and losers of the NFL week, I think you could just stop with the first one and write the NFL. The idea that we've had a week so far, the Buccaneers and the Steelers are going to close it out tonight, where the Browns win for the first time since 2016, the Buffalo Bills not only win, but they dominate the Minnesota Vikings, one of the Super Bowl favorites going into the season. Carson Wentz comes back, right? The Titans and the Jaguars just kicking field goals all over the place because nobody wants to score touchdowns, right? I think the NFL won this weekend because we have absolutely no idea what this league is. It's absolutely crazy. And that's the way it really is. I mean, that line I just said, where we just don't know anything about the NFL, we use it almost all the time. Some weeks, you know, play out the way we think, but for the most part, this league will throw you surprises all the time. And it really goes to the matter of fact that when you get a bunch of professional athletes in certain situations, you really don't know what they're going to do sometimes. Who would have thought the Buffalo Bills, for example, would go on the road after looking as miserable as they were for 2 weeks and win by 21 over a team that people predicted would win the Super Bowl, play in the Super Bowl? Or the Detroit Lions, who looked like they didn't know what they were doing with a football for the first 2 weeks of the season. And Matt Patricia looked like he was way above his head becoming a head coach, would beat the New England Patriots and beat them handedly and look rather good doing it last night on Sunday Night Football. This is a crazy league. It's always been a crazy league, but I think this is just setting up another week and another conversation of where actually are we heading with this? This has been the goal of the league the whole time. It's one of the reasons the salary cap's in place and every team has a good shot of signing a player and picking up talent and making sure that that talent is used in correlation to other talent. It's the reason why you get parity. But not only that, you throw in a wild weekend in the NFL, plus the fact that Tiger Woods won. I don't even know where to begin as we roll on a Monday morning on SB Nation AM. But we are going to get back to the NFL. We'll get to Tiger later in the hour. Get to the NFL, including that Bills win and Josh Rosen making his debut. It didn't really help. But nevertheless, a lot of things to get to in week three of the National Football League, and we're doing it on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we'll get to Tiger Woods later in the hour. He wins the Tour Championship. Week 3 of the NFL is going to be in the books tonight when Tampa Bay takes on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Buccaneers trying to go 3-0 on the season. I am in awe, Ron. I am in awe of what the Buffalo Bills did on the road against the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin.
It's not just
the Bills, but the whole season. The whole week.
It's been a strange week. I mean, it started with the Browns. Yeah, the Browns winning wasn't a surprise. I mean, many people kind of had pegged thinking that the Jets would be awful and they would probably win a game. But it just what happened Thursday night was, almost like a celebration of everything Cleveland. I think we went a little overboard, but it was still a fun time. And then heading into this weekend, the Bills led 27-0 at halftime. At halftime. They were 17-point underdogs in this game, and they had a rookie quarterback. And by the way, no one quit. No one walked out of the Bills locker room at halftime because they were winning. They're like, oh, this is cool. Maybe we should stay and actually play another 30 minutes of football. That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
I don't think the Vikings should have scored at all. I think the Vikings should have sat there. You just like, you know what? Yeah, let's just go, let's get shut out today.
Yeah, sometimes coaches like punish the team and go, you know what? Forget it. Shut out. We're going home.
You think you think coach Mike Zimmer just went out back out of the field and says, you're not getting done. We're doing sprints.
Yeah, exactly. Keep running until you pass out.
Team USA during right. the 1980 Olympics. They want to lock up the field. Tell them to give me the keys. I'll lock it up.
Exactly. Keep running. You lost to the Bills. What kind of weekend practice is that going to be for the Vikings that they lost to the Bills? Josh Allen is running all over the place, leaping people, scoring 2 touchdowns with his feet.
Dude, he looked like a 3-4-year vet.
Oh, God, he looked completely poised. And again, this isn't a middle-of-the-road Vikings team. This is a potential NFC Super Bowl champion Minnesota Vikings team they beat on the road.
And Josh Allen, isn't he supposed to be the worst of the quarterbacks that came
into
the
draft? Oh, yes.
Like, you couldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole yet. He's... just dissected, like you said, the Super Bowl, the NFC rep in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, remember, this is the guy that couldn't get the starting job from Nathan Peterman in the first 5 minutes of the season until Sean McDermott had to finally realize, oh, shoot, I have Nathan Peterman in my quarterback. What am I doing? It's ridiculous.
It's unreal.
Good job, Buffalo. Wow. And I was telling you off the air, I have a friend of mine she's a diehard Bills fan, but she doesn't follow the league really well. She just, the Bills win, the Bills win. And I sent her a message saying, I don't think you realize what a big deal this was. This wasn't, oh, the Bills won, yay. This was the Bills won. Holy cow, how the hell did they do that? That was that kind of win. It was 17-point underdogs. You know how bad you have to be a 17-point dog in the NFL? I mean, what is this, Alabama versus Tennessee Tech? What is this? 17-point dogs, and they win by 21. What a reversal. I mean, that's what, 38-point reversal from what people thought was going to happen to what actually did happen?
And see, that's crazy. Why, that's why Vegas always wins.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. They found the right line points, where people went, that's too much.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that one.
It's crazy, absolutely crazy. Oh, and so then the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I am just like on top of the world, right? Number one team in my top five, bottom five, beat the New England Patriots last week in this field goal fest. This game was on my television, and I wanted to shoot my eye out. This was awful. Awful. And again, close game, field goal fest. It's like nobody wanted the end zone. It was like it was made out of lava. It's like, no, don't go in there. No, you don't want to go in there. Kick field goals until we see where this goes. A 9-6 victory over the Tennessee Titans are 2-1 with a 9-6 victory over Jacksonville. And you know what? I keep saying this and saying this again, and people get mad at me because he's getting better. This is what happens when you have Blake Bortles as your quarterback. He pulls games like this. Where he's just 21 of 34 for a .155. That Tennessee defense isn't that great enough to make Blake Bortles look pedestrian. Blake Bortles looks pedestrian because he is pedestrian. Okay. At times he does have games like this. Now, granted, he had four touchdowns last week against the Patriots, but he has games like this enough to make you go, I don't know about Jacksonville. I don't know. They got everything going for them, but this is a quarterback league. And sometimes he throws up a stinker. What is this? You can't beat Tennessee. Marcus Mariota can barely feel his fingers and you can't beat that team because they have Ryan Succop kicking. By the way, Ryan Succop was Mr. Irrelevant. And you know where he went to college? South Carolina. Yep. Kind of last name is Succop, by the way. That's pretty cool. If you're a kicker.
Must have been a teacher's pet.
I know.
No, that one was one was a head scratcher to me too.
I mean, 9-6.
9-6.
What kind of game is this?
And it's the Jaguars. You know, the team. I mean, here we go again. We're using the same line. This was some people's picks for the AFC championship.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can't get past the Titans?
Come on. Titans are in first
Titans
place.
Titans don't have anybody on their team.
Nobody. Again, Mariota to come off the bench. All week, he's like, I might have feeling in my fingers by the time. Really? Feeling in your fingers by game time?
That's not that important in football, Tony.
Throws for 100 yards. He threw for 100 yards, and the Titans win 9-6. 9-6. Josh Rosen got in the game, though, against the Bears.
He did. That was exciting.
At least he got in the game.
Had a Baker Mayfield feel to it.
He did, didn't it? Oh, thank God. It's going to be Josh Rosen time here in Arizona. Let's see. He threw, what, interception, was sacked once. Sam Bradford was irrelevant.
I mean, he actually started off looking good. And I was like, oh, my God, is this going to happen? But, nah. Then the Bears, like, how about the final play? The Hail Mary, did you see that?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Bears going unconventional. It's like, you know, it's a rookie quarterback. Let's bring the house.
Yep. Crazy.
Deal with this first year.
Oh, that's, I mean, so those just a couple of Cowboys lose. They look terrible. Fumbling the ball, throwing interceptions. Russell Wilson threw three touchdowns. Kansas City keeps rolling along, as entertaining and fun as they are.
I cannot figure them out at all.
Oh, God.
Like, they should not be doing this.
They threw 38 points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's against the Niners, but still, it's like they look like they never look like they were in trouble.
This is a very time. I mean, we've been talking about this last week. This is such a different Kansas City look. I don't think I've ever seen Kansas City look this good offensively in my life.
No.
This kind in this way, this efficient moving out, throwing. I mean, he has got a new spark to that team. That whole team had it. The Kansas City Chiefs had been defined by a certain offensive style, even with the other coaches. It just wasn't this electrifying, and now it's electrifying.
No, it almost reminds me of like the West Coast offense in the early days. You know, Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, where there was just, you know, Joe Montana was making weapons out of nobody, and he was just spreading the ball around. And then you look at, you know, what Pat Mahomes is doing, you're like, God, you're doing the exact same thing.
Exact same thing. Jimmy Garoppolo tore an ACL in that loss.
Yep. Well, we're all speculative.
We're all, of course.
But
they think he did. Yeah, maybe he didn't. We'll see.
When you go down like that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, I loved how Twitter reacted. Twitter was like, oh, my God, he got crushed by whoever that Niner was that hit him. But you're like, no. Look, watch the replay. He didn't get crushed.
No. Carson Wentz, Philadelphia, they win. They beat Indianapolis 20-16. He was 255 with a touchdown.
A good game back for him, right?
That was, I mean, that was a good game back. It was raining.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. That was his preseason game. That's his first time really any game action since he went out.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Threw a nice ball. The Colts fall to 1-2. The Eagles go to 2-1. And as I mentioned, Monday Night Football tonight, Fitzmagic against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are desperately looking for a win. So we'll see how that goes. Baltimore beat Denver. I can't wait to hear what the reaction's going to be in Colorado this week about Case Keenum. He didn't look all that hot. Baltimore got a couple of touchdowns, so they win. So again, I thought it was a fun day. It just like all the games and the highlights and the scoring and Giants win against Houston is 0-3. Now they're done. They're not going to make the playoffs. Houston, but that division might be 9-7 if we're all said and done.
Listen, tomorrow we're going to have our top five, bottom five. There may be a new bottom team.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it right now and I just don't I don't understand what the Texans, I understand what the Texans' problem is, their coach, but the coach just signed a 5-year extension. I don't know how, what they're going to do about it.
Here's my thing. I'm not saying, going to Foxborough is tough, and the Patriots have had the Texans' numbers, but I felt that was a winnable game for Houston because everybody was healthy, and I just couldn't wait to see Deshaun Watson come out and be electrifying again. And I thought, you know, J.J. Watt's back, you know, Javon Clowney, this defense, you know, maybe they could do something against the Patriots. Maybe they can catch the Patriots like other teams have caught the Patriots in the beginning of the season, kind of off guard a little bit.
Like the Lions.
Like the Lions, right? And like the Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago or last year. I thought that was a winnable game. But the last two games, those were absolutely winnable games. This team should be 2-1 and respectable. These are two completely winnable games by teams that shouldn't feel like they got one on the Houston Texans. And they both did. Tennessee and the Giants both feel like, well, we got one on the Houston Texans because there's something going on there that's not right. There's just something missing that's not right. And you're right. I think it's coaching. Slow starts. Deshaun Watson didn't throw touchdowns to the fourth quarter.
Well, not only that, but I mean, Deshaun Watson, a very bad habit is going to happen for Deshaun Watson where he's going to just get into that mindset that he always has to move within a second and a half in the pocket.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't remember him throwing a ball from the pocket.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever standing tall in there because if he did, he would have gotten killed. We'd be talking about a murder that happened in the NFL.
That's right. And you know what? They say it's that these mistakes are fixable in Houston. I hope they are because you're going to find the season. You go 0-4, pack it up. All right? I mean, even that division that might beat up each other a bit, they got to play the Colts on the road. If Andrew Luck has a good game and they fall themselves 0-4, that ends quickly. I mean, a month of September, a team that I couldn't wait to see. I thought it was the most entertaining team in the league coming in if everybody was healthy.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck.
And now 0-3.
Andrew Luck was dissecting the Eagles' defense.
Yes, he was.
And if it hadn't been for that, I feel bad calling it a sack, but that little stumble that he had where he was almost tackled. You know, the Colts were driving towards the end of the game. Eagles brought pressure. He got away from it, but he was stumbling as he was getting away, and he ended up falling over, tripping on the turf.
Yeah.
And had that play continued or had he made something out of it, they were driving down the field. It was going to be touchdown time for him. And they would have been up with very few time left and, you know, put the ball in Carson Wentz's hand with 2 minutes left saying, hey, you got to take care of us now.
All right, 800-777-2907. You want to get involved in week 3 of the NFL, what you saw Sunday, what you liked, what you did not like. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. And you can also hit Ron up at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we're going to continue to look at week 3 in the NFL and what happened on Sunday with a number of teams, but I'm going to be hitting this a lot today. Tiger Woods wins the Tour Championship at East Lake in Atlanta. And listen, we've been waiting for this because he's been playing good this year and he's been in contention a number of times. Couldn't quite close the deal on the majors. I had the lead at the British Open for like a hole before he made a bogey and then was out. PGA Championship, he was fighting Brooks Koepka down the line. But this one he led from like day one. So he was first round leader, second round leader, had a 3-shot lead going into the day, into Sunday. And it was as electrifying and exciting as I've seen any Tiger Woods victory. And here's the thing. I think golfers and people who cover golf were wrong that the sport was fine with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. But I think they were dead wrong. This sport absolutely needs this guy. They absolutely need this guy. It's another level especially when he was doing this. If Jordan Spieth was winning this, or better yet, Rory McIlroy, who was in contention, if Rory McIlroy was winning this, golfers and golf fans would be into it, okay? But people at football games, people in bars around the country, people who were gathered to watch whatever sporting event they were watching whatever game they were watching, wouldn't be flipping to watch golf, wouldn't be changing the channel to watch golf or looking at their phones to watch golf. This guy does that. This guy does that. Jordan Spieth doesn't do it. Rory McIlroy doesn't do it. Ricky Fowler doesn't do it. This guy does it. He can take a person. It's like, I don't watch golf, but I really want to know if Tiger's going to win. I really know if Tiger's playing well. I really want to know what he's doing. No other golfer had that. And I'm not talking about the inner club that golf fans are. I am talking about taking it broader and bigger than the actual event. And that's what he did. There was an electricity to this guy for all those years that I just don't think is squashed by the arrival of cookie cutter type golfers, right? Jordan Spieth is a fantastic golfer, right? But a suburban kid from Dallas is not going to supplant what Tiger Woods meant culturally. His victories at Augusta at 21 years old and what that meant for the African-American community. I mean, all of his ability to transcend the sport is not something Jordan Spieth can do. And it would be unfair to put that on him. It's same with Rory McIlroy. They wanted to anoint him when he was winning a bunch of majors. Tiger was more than winning golf tournaments. Tiger was winning golf tournaments and just drawing people in who just didn't care about golf. Golf's not for everybody. It's not the most exciting sport sometimes. It can be rather dull. Some people don't care for the game. Some people don't care for the history of the game. Tiger Woods was a guy that was just an athlete above the sport. And so seeing that this weekend and watching him play and watching the crowd, is they couldn't wait for this at Eastlake. They couldn't wait for this. And they got their money's worth. And by the way, I don't think it's hyperbole here to talk about this as being one of the greatest comebacks we've seen an athlete make in the history of sports. Now, in golf, it's different. And this is the deal. In golf, you can make a comeback in your 40s. Very, very few sports can. I mean, you can't be, you if you're a 41-year-old pitcher and you have a knuckleball, maybe, you know, but you don't see guys in their 40s playing in the NBA or playing in the NFL. But in golf, you can do that. In golf, you can be in your 40s. You can still win on the tour. You can still be competitive on the tour. So his window of coming back was much greater than other athletes. But he did talk about, hey, I didn't know if I was going to walk again. I didn't know what I was going to do. It hurt to sit down. And now he's playing at a high level again. And it really is a matter of time before he starts winning more majors. And all of a sudden, that 18 becomes into question. He won the tour championship. There was 30 guys in this field. These were the best golfers in the world. This wasn't winning, you know, an event like a tune-up event in, you know, Tampa. This was 30 golfers all competing as the top golfers in the world for the season. And he beat them. And he beat them by two. And it was, you know, as much as I could get, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm not a huge Tiger Woods fan. I mean, I'm a fan, but I'm not a diehard, crazy, lunatic Tiger Woods fan. But I like this. I like this story. It's a better story than anybody else on that tour. It's going to be one of the better stories of the year. I mean, he shot in the 80s. He shot in 87, I think, at the Memorial a couple years ago. He hasn't won in 5 years. Think about where you were in 2013. That was the last time he won anything. Most of the time being laid up. But like I said earlier, nobody is more important to the sport than this guy. And it's not even close. And so I appreciate, look, I've asked golf guys this question. Because we spent 5 years wondering if Tiger Woods was ever going to be back. So when Jordan Spieth was winning and Rory McIlroy was winning and, you know, Justin Thomas was winning, it's natural to say, you know, the sport's in good hands. These kids are really good. Justin Thomas has got a 59. Jordan Spieth is 21. He's got won two majors in 1 year. And he's won PGA championship away from a Grand Slam. And Rory needs the Masters for the Grand Slam, for the career Grand Slam. Yeah, it's in good hands. Then you watch Tiger Woods and the crowd. And everybody losing their mind. And you realize, oh, no, wait. Golf isn't like this. Golf was never like this. It's not like this without him. When he's on, it's a different sport. It's a different game. It's a different spectator consumption. That's it. It just is. And if he can win, man, if he can win a major or two in the next year or two, all of a sudden that conversation of, is he going to catch Jack Nicklaus, gets fired up again in his 40s. God bless him. Absolutely. I thought it was great. I mean, for a fun weekend in sports for the NFL, as fun as that was to throw it on to see Tiger doing what his thing and the crowd going crazy. I had a good Sunday, Ron. I had a good Sunday. It's kind of neat.
I can't believe he did it.
I still can't either. It's still incredible. It's like, here was the thing. I wasn't quite ready for Tiger to win yet. Like, I was kind of like, I watched him. Here's what made it impressive. It's like Tiger said, okay, you know what? I'm going to come back. And in my first tournament, I'm going to work on iron play. Just getting the trajectory right and maybe see if I can make some putts. Okay. And you know what? Maybe I got it working. And he was competitive in the Florida swing early this year. All right, I'm going to go here and I'm going to work on this part. Maybe get my short game down. Okay. And if I'm in contention, I'm in contention. And if I'm not, that's cool. And he would just do that every tournament. Just like, you know, I'm here for the tournament, but I'm actually going to make sure I'm coming away with progress on this. That's what he kept talking about over and over. Until finally he started putting it together. And now he won by two. He won by two against the best golfers in the field. Nuts. Way to go, Tiger. Way to go. All right, 800-777-2907. SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, obviously, I don't agree with it again. You know, whereas last week I thought I did it, you know, it hit the quarterback correctly. Head was to the side again, wrapped him up. And you see, as soon as I hit the ground, you see me try and pull my hands out. You know, obviously, when you're tackling a guy from the front, you're going to land on him. You know, I understand the spirit of the rule. I said that. You know, weeks prior, but when you have a hit like that, that's a football play. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's going to go on him. But you know, I think we're looking for the hits. You know that took Aaron out last year. You know, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, you know, some extra on him. But you know, that's football. So I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction that I think a lot of people don't like. You know, I think they're getting soft. And, you know, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to keep playing hard.
Now, here's the thing. If I'm in the league office and I hear that entire quote, the one that we just played, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't feel good. I don't feel good today at all. I like the idea of trying to protect the quarterback as best you possibly can. But that phrase, best as you possibly can, does not include just outrageous demands that you're making on defenders in this league to actually play defense. Clay Matthews is getting another roughing the passer penalty, where he's textbook tackling a quarterback. This time it's Alex Smith. He wraps up Alex Smith in the midsection. He does not lead with the helmet. He brings Alex Smith down. As you heard him explain, he tried to not put his body weight on him, but it doesn't matter. Again, referees aren't seeing this in slow motion. They're not seeing this in replay. They're seeing what they're seeing, and they're being very, very careful. And the league is going to encourage that. The league is going to double down on this. But if I listened to that entire quote, I wouldn't feel good about that. The league is going to send out its press information about it. The league is going to make its stand on it. But if I'm seriously listening to Clay Matthews, I'm not comfortable with this. I am starting to lose faith in my own agenda because he's right. This league is just, it doesn't know how to do this properly. It doesn't know how to figure this out properly. It just because they're standing on a soapbox and just because they're screaming loud about, hey, we're serious, it doesn't mean that their plan is working, because it doesn't seem to be working. This is the third week now that I've watched a guy get tackled in what I think is a standard way to take down the quarterback, only to realize that that's not the case. And my brain isn't adjusting properly to this change because I'm seeing it going, okay, that's a sack or that's a good takedown. Oh no, here comes the flag. And now it makes me iffy because I don't like these kind of calls. I don't like these kind of calls that are that controversial or make me think, oh man, are we deciding games on this? Because we're deciding games on this. And I don't know what the league is going to do. Again, I'm with Clay Matthews. I get it. And I know people pointed this out last week. It's Aaron Rodgers, right? It's what happened to Aaron Rodgers, and the league says no. And I hear it over and over again, and we say it over and over again. Heard it on the pregame show. There's only so many guys who can play at an elite level in the NFL, and you better make sure they're healthy. You got to find any which way you can to make them healthy. Because if they go, the league goes. And that's absolutely true. Nobody wants to tune in to see backup quarterbacks, especially in crunch time, especially towards the playoffs. Absolutely get it. That's not sellable. But there's only so much you can do. Sometimes you're just going to have to risk it. Right? I think the league's answer is, if I can get guys to really start evaluating how they're hitting the quarterback, then I'll eliminate some of the plays that took Aaron Rodgers out, like they did last season with his collarbone. But I don't know how you do this. Again, I think that quote by Clay Matthews is right on the money. I think it's right on the money. Again, if I'm the league, I'm not feeling good how this is playing out week in and week out. You see Twitter reaction to this? I mean, people are losing their minds.
I mean, you watch it, and I'm sitting there. I guess, to the letter of the law, as far as what it is, that's what it. I mean, you know, it's the rule is that it's a roughing the passer because the defender lands with all or most of the defender's weight on
yep,
the passer.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, what is he supposed to do?
That's the question. What are you supposed to do?
I think next time what he should do is just go in and just clothesline him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because then he's like, hey,
well, there's no weight.
It's a one-arm tackle. I felt so bad for him because, I mean, it was at a critical moment of the game, too. It was, you know, if it had that not had happened, there's a good chance that the Packers could have got the ball back, you know, via a punt. Or whatever, because the Redskins were struggling. Their offense was stalling at that moment. The game was still not out of hand yet. I mean, and after that, after you get that, you almost see the Packers defense just like, I'm afraid to tackle.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's good. All of a sudden, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying, you know, we need the big hits. We need those helmet-crushing hits anymore. But Alex Smith, I mean, he's been used to being tackled like this all his life. I mean, all football players, before they get into the NFL, are used to getting tackled like this. Why all of a sudden now it's like, you and I talked about it last week. We understand it's a business. You got to protect your big thing because you don't want Deshaun Kaiser leading your team. You want Aaron
exactly.
Rodgers because
exactly.
That's the moneymaker. But, I mean, this is a serious handcuff.
This is, and it's an issue that is just, I mean, the league double down is going to double down on it, but the other problem is that if you've got guys who are scared to make tackles, make plays, that's where other injuries come in. Like that's where
right.
other injuries to them come in because they're being told, be very careful how you maneuver this. Be very careful and start thinking about different ways you're going to do this before you do them, rather than the instinctive reaction of what they've been trained to do their whole life. And making those kind of adjustments. And the more they think about angles and the more they think about, oh, wait a minute, I better move off here. That's where real injuries can happen. And some can be pretty bad. And that becomes a problem as well. But if the league does back off on this, I think that becomes a problem, right? Because the league is making a big stand and saying, look, we're not backing down on this. This is what's going down. This is what happens. Okay, this is the way we want to go with this. But the moment they sort of, if they concede it a little bit, then they're going to be facing this huge backlash, and I don't think they want that. So they're just going to continue to say, nope, 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 and we're going to send that video to everybody else around the league to show them what to do about hitting and what to do about tackling. And poor, you know, poor Clay Matthews is in the middle of this going, this is crazy. I hardly have ever gotten flagged for roughing the passer, and already have gotten, what, two or three this year already?
Yeah, and he's going to be fined for this one as well. Probably like another $15,000 for it. It just doesn't make any sense to me that, you know, that stereotypical image of, you know, teaching a guy how to tackle during a practice where the coach is holding up that big round foam dummy. Then you go in there and you hit it hard and you wrap up. Then you can even see that, you know, I mean, the thing that bothered me the most was that as soon as he hit the ground, his first reaction was to pop up and look.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he knew a flag was coming. He's like, dude, I did everything I was supposed to do. I'm just trying to sack the quarterback. He's just trying to do his job. And you're taking away the one way he can do his job effectively.
And that, if I'm, again, he can make that stand. Like he said, he understands the rule. But at the same time, he's trying to make some money, too, in this league. And how he makes money is by getting to the quarterback and taking the quarterback down. He's trying to earn his – he's trying to build his own career. He's trying to do what his job is.
Trying to build his legacy.
And, yeah, exactly. And now you're telling him, oh, all of it's gone. And, oh, by the way, you got to change the way you do this. And, oh, by the way, even when you think you're right, you're wrong. And you'll never realize how right you are and how wrong you are. And he's confused. I mean, I'm confused. You watch these things now, you don't know. You watch these plays and you're like, oh, wait, is that going to be a flag? Oh, wait, is it a flag? I don't think it's a flag. Oh, it is a flag. Look, they brought out the flag. Is that what we're doing now? And that's an issue for the league that they're going to have to address, because as much as people want to see star quarterbacks in this league, and I get it, I'm with you on that 100%, they also don't want to see these games bogged down like this. They don't want to see these games where even people at home don't realize what it is. And even if you're on the receiving end of it, look, my team directly benefited from you know, Myles Garrett getting the sack on Ben Roethlisberger. All right, fine. They were able to score a touchdown. But you know what? I didn't like it. I just hated it. I didn't like getting a second opportunity with that. I know what it means. And I know what it means is, oh, this league is taking away something these guys know how to do, and it's still confusing for everybody. You know, that helmet-to-helmet stuff, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know that that one time, you know, defensive players were like, I don't know if I lead with my helmet or not. I can't change. Well, eventually they started to change. But this is too much. This is asking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the ones where it's blatant helmet-to-helmet where we've seen in the first 2 weeks. We didn't see one this week. But, no. You know, the first 2 weeks and we saw a guy get immediately ejected because, you know, especially last week, I can't remember who the player was, where the quarterback was already down on the ground. I think it was Cam Newton was already down on the ground.
Oh, yeah, I think
and,
so, too, yeah.
The player for the Falcons came in late and led with his helmet and hit him square in the helmet. Those, to me, it's like, yes, those we need to – that needs to stop. But, I mean, what Clay Matthews is doing, he's just tackling.
They look like textbook. If you were a coach, this is what you would show your players.
Exactly.
Taking down quarterbacks. Like, this is how you wrap up and take them down. And now it's like, oh, this is how you wrap up, but don't do it like this. Change in mid stride to do it in another way.
Yeah, I mean, he even mentioned before, it's like, you know, maybe I should just go for the ball. And just starts trying. But then it's like, okay, well, then now you're going to start injuring people. If you just concentrate going for the ball, Alex Smith has a broken arm. And then all of a sudden it's going to be, oh, you know what? It's basically what it's going to come down to, don't touch the quarterback.
You know what
you can hit anybody else, you can't touch the quarterback.
What I hate most about this is I remember the hysteria, I don't know, 10 years ago, where people really thought the NFL was going to go to flag football, right? They were just into this big hyperbole that the NFL was way too soft. And I remember, calm down. They're just trying to protect the quarterback. Some of these plays, you shouldn't be leading with your helmet anyway and all that stuff. But it was this slippery slope that over the years has developed into what we're talking about now. Textbook tackling, wrap up and bring down, not using your head, just, again, going to the midsection, not going for knees, not going for any of that stuff. Wrap in the midsection, taking a quarterback down, the basic way of tackling. Flag. And all those people were right. It may have taken them a long time to get there, but they started to be right. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think the NFL is going to go flag football, but their point is valid, that the NFL did over just just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, started changing the fundamentals that people have been grown to learn and become professionals with. And they're changing that. And again, look, I helmet to helmet is stupid. Leading with your helmet is stupid. It could lead to bad things for you, bad things for the person you're tackling. That should have been taken care of. But this is so different. It's another level. And eventually they'll make this they'll make this the bad guy too. They'll make this form of tackling the evil too, that they got to eradicate. And then where do you go? Then where do you go? Right? I mean, would you rather see guys going after knees? Are you crazy? I mean, what's wrong? I mean, this.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know where. I mean, you mentioned it before. It's a slippery slope on what the NFL is becoming. But at the same time, it's opening up Pandora's box on what a defender might actually start doing.
Because exactly right. Yep.
They're so afraid to tackle the traditional way that seems safe, that seems, you know, I mean, Alex Smith wasn't hurting when he got tackled. You know, it probably hurt for a second, like, oh, God, I got his, you know, linebacker that hit me. But they didn't knock him out of the game. He didn't, you know, maybe, I don't know. This is a real head scratcher, and it's a real problem that the NFL is going to have to deal with.
800-777-2907, SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on this NFL rule? Are you worried that the NFL is going too soft? Are you worried that Clay Matthews is on to something that's big and deeper than what's going on with this league? 800-777-2907 is the number. It's Tony D and Ron Culver at SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along on a Monday morning in week 3 in the NFL. Steelers-Buccaneers tonight at Raymond James Stadium. Ryan Fitzpatrick turning to 3-0. Filling in for Jameis Winston, quote-unquote. He beats the Steelers, man. I can't wait to hear what the conversation in Tampa is going to be like with this. Why do you go back to Jameis Winston?
I think we'll have a couple of, we're making quarterback changes announcements next week. Or starting tomorrow.
I think so, too.
I see Cleveland, possibly Arizona, and Tampa Bay.
Hugh Jackson still watching tape? Yeah. I haven't decided yet. Go watch the tape. Tyrod Taylor looks pretty good. Baker Mayfield looks all right. We'll see. Later this week.
But but if Fitzpatrick carves up the Steelers, can't go back to Jameis.
You can't go to Jameis.
Jameis would never have been able to do it.
Win now. Falcons are 1-2 after losing in overtime to Drew Brees and the Saints. Go to 3-0 on the season. Come on. Bring Jameis back. Are you crazy? Steelers would be 0-2-1 start the season. Le'Veon Bell liking tweets that say he's out of Pittsburgh. Oh, it's all falling apart for the black and gold. Coming up next, we'll talk more about week 3 in the National Football League, including the Cowboys game to the Seahawks. What's wrong with the Patriots? The Bills, do they still... was I dreaming? Did they actually pull this off against Minnesota? SB Nation AM.